you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. A weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
At the risk of being redundant, Happy New Year, everybody. Yeah, I know I said that on last week's show. That's why I used the word redundant. Heck, I may have even started the show that way. I am getting a little forgetful in my old age. But I think we're all still in the New Year's spirit, so what the heck? Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. And we hope you got to use some of our suggestions for food to be served at various holiday functions. Because, after all, that's why we're here, you know, to spawn new ideas, maybe even specific dishes that you might not have considered before. Lord knows I've learned a lot. Hopefully so have you. As a matter of fact, let us know what you think of our show, because we all like to start out the new year by kind of reevaluating our work and how we do it. So any comments are always welcome on our Facebook page. It's easy to find. It's just named The Outdoor Cooking Show. We're more than happy to read anything you might have to say, good or bad. Feel free to chime in. And who knows, we might even read your message on the air and respond to it. But I'll admit that I think one of our best shows was just last week when we discussed some good ideas for New Year's Eve parties. And that kind of got me to thinking about our own New Year's Eve party experience at our son's house. Derek and Danielle, his wife, have hosted a kid-friendly New Year's Eve party in their home for several years now. And my wife Cindy and I are always the only grandparents who are invited to join in. It's all younger, middle-aged couples with kids who are friends with our grandson, Liam, and of course their brothers and sisters. And over the years of throwing this party, Derek and Danielle have learned some valuable lessons. The most important one being, do not try to cook a full meal for everybody. I told you on last week's show that Danielle cooked multiple pans of lasagna one year, and Derek grilled chicken and beef fajitas another year. Took him about 6 hours to do. And this year, they just decided that was way too much work, way too much leftover food. So they included a note in the invitation that said, bring an appetizer. Of course, nobody minded at all. As a matter of fact, some people got really creative. So there was plenty of food to snack on, and it saved Derek and Danielle a lot of work. Not to mention all that prep time in advance, right? So my wife was the first one to respond and say that she'd make a big bowl of ranch dip and bring lots of potato chips for dipping, and she'd also bake a huge platter of brownies for dessert. Then she started having second thoughts. Surprise, surprise, my wife overthinking something. When Cindy mentioned to our daughter-in-law that she thought maybe she should do something more complex, Danielle said, No. We've planned all the other appetizers around the ranch dip, so please just stick with the plan. When we arrived at their house New Year's Eve, it was around 7 o'clock. Danielle had baked up a pan full of pizza rolls and chicken nuggets, and when the other guests started pouring in, the snack table filled up fast. One guy brought stuffed jalapenos. Well, the jalapenos were cut in half, long ways, and they had some cream cheese and brown ground beef on top. I don't know exactly what. He baked them in the oven for about 15 minutes, and they were wonderful. Everybody started putting that ranch dip on top of them, and they were gone in record time. I ate three. I'm not proud of it, but confession is good for the soul. So there, I said it. I ate three. They were great for a chilly belly like me. Then one of our partners here at Edgewater Studios, John Shelton, walked in. He had a mini crock pot full of his famous queso with diced peppers and ground beef mixed in. And I discovered a new topping for the stuffed jalapenos. I ate three more. I'm not proud of it, but there it is. I ate three more. But as more people arrived, more temptations arrived with them. You know what I mean? And the face stuffing was in high gear. Now, Derek loves the salsa from a little hole-in-the-wall taqueria in Stafford, so he had a big bowl of that. And believe me when I tell you this, if you eat more than a half dozen chips with this salsa on top, you will break out in a sweat. I am not exaggerating. Danielle also prepared a bowl full of what she likes to call firecrackers, and I think that's a perfect name for a New Year's Eve snack, don't you? Yeah, what she does is she takes some thin, crispy crackers. I don't know which kind. She drizzles them with olive oil and then adds garlic powder and red pepper. A lot of red pepper. Then she puts them in a big, sealable gallon plastic bag. Every few minutes, she just shakes up the bag to mix up the ingredients. And after about an hour, they're all spiced up and ready to eat. I love those things. So when I saw a bowl full of them, I just looked at my daughter-in-law and said, "You are an evil woman." She just cackled at me. And I started singing the old ELO song, "Evil Woman." Remember that? Of course, she's way too young to remember that song. But my wife appreciated it. And that was just the beginning. There was a cracker tray with three different kinds of cheese and pepperoni and some other sliced Italian sausage. That didn't last long. And a veggie tray with broccoli and cauliflower and a couple of other things. All that went great with the ranch dip. It didn't last long either. Oh, and speaking of not lasting long, the brownies disappeared faster than anything else. And I have a sneaking suspicion I know who grabbed the first one. My grandson. See, Liam knows when he comes to Nana and Pop's house, he can just eat anything he can find. So apparently, he thinks that same rule applies when we take food to his house, too. Cindy had wrapped the brownie tray with cellophane to keep them fresh. And 5 minutes after we got there, I just happened to notice that the cellophane had been lifted just enough for a small hand to reach in and pilfer one brownie when nobody was looking. Like I say, I'm fairly sure I know whose hand that belonged to. And during the evening, I saw Liam munching on a brownie at least three or four more times. So who knows? Brownies were probably about the only thing he ate all night long. Oh, well, not my problem. I don't have to put him to bed. Danielle rigged up a balloon drop for the kids to do a countdown early in the evening. But I'm not real sure why they didn't just wait until midnight, because they weren't putting the kids to bed and the adults weren't leaving. They were just getting the party started good. But Nana and Pop had different ideas. We had enjoyed the controlled chaos for about as long as we could, popping balloons, screaming kids. It was about 10 o'clock, and I thought to myself, yeah, you know, I've had about all the fun I can stand. So I grabbed Cindy, and we headed home. As we got in my truck to drive away, I turned to my wife, and I said, shh, 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 listen. She said, what? I said, do you hear that? She said, I don't hear anything. I said, exactly. Let's go home and get ready for bed. Ah, the joys of being Nana and Pop. Our house was totally calm and quiet, completely free of kids running around like wild hogs. Oh, and that leads us perfectly into today's topic on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. The wild hog problem in the state of Texas. And yes, I definitely planned this whole thing that way. We are privileged to have an official from the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department as our guest to discuss the wild hog problem we have in Texas. And it's a really bad situation. Well, for instance, we live in a very well-developed part of Sugar Land, and our HOA was forced to build a fence around a levee that backs up to our neighborhood just to keep the wild hogs from digging up our yards at night. I see dead wild hogs that have been hit by cars alongside the streets of our subdivision all the time. I can't even imagine how bad it is for people who live out in the country. So, we'll also talk to my old radio partner from the H&H show, Fred Olson, because he does live out in the country on a ranch near Columbus. Oh, and just to prove we can still talk about cooking on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, our guest from Parks and Wildlife has a recipe for fried catfish, and it includes a highly unusual ingredient. So stick around, and again, Happy New Year, everybody. Let's get this party started.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint, and hardware all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We are extremely honored to host a special guest on the show this morning. He is the Waco District Supervisor for Texas Parks and Wildlife Department's Inland Fisheries Management. His name is John Tibbs. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Randy. I appreciate it.
Begin by telling us where you were born, reared, where you went to school, all of that kind of stuff.
Well, that's easy enough. Now, I'm an import. I came to Texas as fast as I could, but I was born in Missouri. And, you know, a lot of people would think maybe I'm a Yankee.
No.
But I assure you that we've got a lot in common.
Yes, indeed. So where'd you go to school?
Well, so I got my undergraduate in a little regional university called Southeast Missouri State. That's in Cape Girardeau, right on the Mississippi River. After that, I went up to University of Missouri in Columbia and got a master's degree in fish ecology. But I still worked on the river. So I'm a river biologist for my training, I guess.
What do you mean when you say I worked on the river?
Well, so my projects that I did whenever I was in graduate school revolved around both the Mississippi River for my thesis project, and once I finished that up, I worked as a researcher for the University of Missouri on the Missouri River. So, as you know, there's big catfish in there and all kinds of really cool stuff. What I was studying primarily was the really small fish, juveniles and small adult fish, and their use of different habitats.
So what brought you to Texas Parks and Wildlife?
A job.
I love your rigorous honesty, John.
Yeah. So, well, in all honesty, you know, there was a very short list of states that I would be interested in working, and I was looking for jobs at the time. And we're talking, you know, this was 20 years ago, so there was a lot of hiring freezes going on, and managed to come down for an interview for their San Marcos office as an assistant biologist, and was fortunate enough to get it. And then less than 2 years later, I was promoted up to my current position as a district supervisor in Waco. And I never left. So I really enjoy the area. I really enjoy Texas. And you know, some of the best people are here.
Since you work for Parks and Wildlife, we assume you're an avid outdoorsman. You're in charge of inland fisheries management, so we're sure you like to fish. Where and for what do you like to fish the most?
Well, my favorite thing to fish for, I think, would probably have to be big blue catfish. But I do enjoy fishing for hybrids and stripers, and I'm even known to cast a worm or two and go after some black bass. My home lake, I think, would be Lake Waco, and it's pretty much good for everything. So I do enjoy fishing. I don't get to do it as much as I'd really like to, Randy. I mean, one of the things about being a fisheries biologist is you see fish all the time. And when you go home, sometimes you're like, I don't know if I want to see fish again till Monday.
Well, now, are you also a hunter?
Yes, sir.
And again, where and for what do you like to hunt the most?
Well, my favorite things to hunt for would have to be waterfowl. And, you know, that's kind of a tough thing to hunt for in Central Texas. I mean, you can hunt some reservoirs and maybe the river. But again, access kind of restricts you to the reservoirs. But I also do hunt for deer and wild hogs when given the opportunity. You know, on a state salary, it's kind of hard to afford a lease. And so I'm acutely aware of the problems associated with that. So,
as a district supervisor for Parks and Wildlife Inland Fisheries Management, what do you do?
Well, that's a fair question. And I mean, one of the things I would say is, what don't I do? and I'll speak, you know, for district supervisors, we've got 15 of them across the state. So we've got 15 districts, and we have the associated assistant district supervisors with each of those locations. And so we're kind of the front line on talking with the public about plans and goals of Texas Parks and Wildlife in relation to fisheries. And to do that, we have to go out and sample the fisheries every year. We will be sampling fall, winter, spring primarily for our large reservoirs and some of our rivers. We might sample in the summer. We have another group of people that tend to do that primarily. We also look at small impoundments. So we get all that information, and that's what we use to make plans for management of those lakes over the next 4 years. So every 4 years, we'll have a new management plan that we'll put together for every one of our major reservoirs. And that will talk about, you know, regulations, habitat placement, what kind of sampling we're going to do, what kind of public input we're going to look for, you know, what sampling we're going to do 4 years from now. So there's a lot of planning that goes into it. And the whole goal of all of that is to enhance the fishing for citizens of Texas. So
we also understand you've been promoted as the first statewide catfish management coordinator. That almost sounds like you hire and fire catfish for a living. But that's just a radio guy's poor attempt at humor. So exactly what do you do in that job?
Well, so that's an additional job duty. And basically, I'm the point of contact for any questions that might be fired into our emails or something for catfish that, for whatever reason, our district supervisors can't handle. And those are rare. But, for example, on this program, I can talk to you about our catfish management plan that we have that was published in 2015. I can talk about some of the programs that we have for fishing for catfish, for urban fishing for catfish in particular. And I can also talk to you about some of the catfish regulation changes that we're going to be looking forward to in 2020, 2021. So I'm kind of the spokesperson for those efforts, although I'm not the guy that's doing all of them. There's lots of people involved in this.
One of Parks and Wildlife's most successful initiatives, anyway, is the Neighborhood Fishing Program. So explain what that does.
Well, that's a really cool program. I think the first pilot program was in 2003, and the goal was to enhance fishing opportunities where people live. And so if you look at a place like Houston, for example, you've got a whole lot of small ponds around, but there's so many people that, you know, they've got to have a place close by to fish if they want to have any success. You don't want to drive 2 hours through traffic just to get to the lake every time you want to fish. And so we started this program. It's a cooperative program between usually the city and Parks and Wildlife, where each assumes part of the cost of the program. And during the summer, from say April to October, we would stock catfish, pausing in August where it's too hot to stock them. And we'll stock them every 2 weeks into these ponds. And then subsequent to that, during the winter, we will stock trout. And that usually goes from December through March. And again, that's every 2 weeks. So it's pretty impressive effort to get the fish to where people can catch them. And in order to fish for them, all you have to have is a fishing license if you're 17 or older, and a fishing stamp endorsement, which that money is used directly, the fishing stamp endorsement, directly to purchase the fish that are put into those urban ponds.
Now, we've heard that a new record was set a couple of weeks ago for the biggest Lake Waco blue catfish ever caught. How big was that bad boy?
It was a very large blue catfish that was caught on Lake Waco. It beat the original record by about 35 or 40 pounds.
What?
And it was 82.4 pounds, I think it was.
82? That's not a catfish. That's a whale.
Let me tell you, it was very impressive.
Wow.
And the best thing about it was, is that fish was released alive back in the lake to continue growing.
My goodness. I'm sure hoping that scuba divers don't happen on that bad boy.
Oh, yeah, those are good stories.
Well, we've run out of time in this first segment, John, but we have saved a spot for you in the second segment. If you have time, can you stick around and talk to us a little bit longer?
I'd love to. That'd be great, Randy.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoke and hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Hi, friends. Randy Hames to tell you about Cellular and Satellite. Cellular and Satellite are specialists in wireless data plans for businesses. Because they buy in large quantities, Cellular and Satellite can give you a data plan on the same provider you're using today, but at a lower cost. Cellular and Satellite can also combine the two largest wireless providers into a single data plan. Two carriers with better coverage, but only one invoice to pay. If your workforce is international, Cellular and Satellite offers a global data SIM with fixed pricing in over 200 countries. You'll never have to pay international roaming charges again with Cellular and Satellite. And they can handle all your wireless data needs, whether you need 10 or 10,000 data SIMs. So if you're an IT professional, mobility manager, or business owner, save money and increase your network availability by letting Cellular and Satellite simplify your wireless life. Call Cellular and Satellite today, 832-551-1000, or go to cellularandsatellite.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We have an important dignitary with us on the show today. He is John Tibbs of Texas Parks and Wildlife. In fact, John is the Waco District Supervisor for TPWD's Inland Fisheries Management, that's hard to say, and also the first statewide catfish management coordinator. Whew. Thanks for agreeing to hang out and talk with us a little more about your job and fishing in general in the state of Texas, John. We appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, Randy. One of my favorite things to talk about.
Well, we've talked to you a lot about what you do for Texas Parks and Wildlife, and specifically what you do in your catfish management position, but we would guess that you spend a decent amount of time actually fishing for catfish. Is that right?
Oh, that's true.
And the blue catfish is in season right now. Is that correct?
Yeah. If you want to catch a big one, the winter is the time to go. There's also a lot of smaller, tasty ones, too.
Why is winter better?
Well, they like to run bait into shallow water where it's warm.
Mm-hmm.
And this is big blues doing this. Of course, the small ones will be there, too, trying to get what they can. And so if you find warm water, shallow water with a lot of shad, you're going to find blue cats in January, February, March, and you can catch some real monsters. Now, those are the ones I'd put back. You know, we do encourage that. But you're talking the smaller ones, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 pounder. They're delicious.
Well, undoubtedly, that means that you do like to eat a lot of catfish. How am I doing so far, John?
Man, you're exactly predicting everything that I do like to do.
Well, that brings up the whole reason why we produce and air this show, the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. We like to cook things like catfish over an open flame in the backyard, maybe out in the field, or even at home in the kitchen. And our executive producer, Greg Berlocker, told us that you have a unique recipe for fried catfish, and it involves an ingredient that I have never heard anyone use before for fried catfish batter, and that's powdered milk. What in the world inspired you to use powdered milk?
Well, to be honest, the initial impetus for this recipe was a trip that my dad took me on in the Boundary Waters. And as you know, in the Boundary Waters, you canoe or kayak out 2 or 3 days out into the wilderness, do a bunch of portaging and so forth, and you get out there and you can't bring milk with you. But there's a lot of really tasty fish out there. And so we used powdered milk and we mixed it very thick with water. And we noticed that it grabbed onto the cornmeal very well. I mean, it made this really incredible crispy crust on the walleye. And I said, this has got to be good on any fish. And it is.
Well, obviously, the next thing for us to do is just have you describe in detail this recipe for fried catfish, because it's always been one of our favorites around here. Give us all the details.
All right. Well, I'll just start by saying that I like to go ahead and use regular milk, maybe even whole milk, as the base. The original recipe, of course, we were using water, but regular milk makes it even a little bit more rich. You get your milk, you put in enough powdered milk, and this is the tricky part. It starts to get a little thick, and if you've ever used buttermilk for fish, this is the same kind of consistency you're looking for. But as you know, powdered milk has a lot of protein and so forth, so it binds and, in my opinion, turns into a very nice crispy crust. When you get those all mixed together, then that's when you would add the fish. Another thing that I do to my fish to enhance that crispiness is I will cut the fillets on the bias. And what I mean by that, a lot of your audience already knows this, but cut it at an angle, and a fairly sharp angle, so that you have a lot of thin area all around the edge of the piece of fish that you cut. And so you've got this real thin frill around it that will fry up crispy, and in the middle you'll have your soft fish as well. So then you take the fish, you put it all into the milk that is thickened with the dried milk, and then in a separate bowl, I use straight cornmeal. That's all I use. Not masa, not flour added, just straight cornmeal. And if you want a really basic flavor, just salt. If you want a little bit of spiciness, you can add your own spice, whatever you like. I use Tony's.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the universal spice in Texas.
It is. That's true.
So, you know, add to that until you've got the flavor that you're looking for. Take the fish, move it from the milk into the batter, and of course you use the left hand for the milk and the right hand for the cornmeal. The other thing I'll do is I'll throw 2 or 3 fish onto the cornmeal, and this is what I do different than a lot of people. You know, you can put it in a bag and shake it and everything, but I find that you don't get as much of a crust on it as I like. And so I will throw the fish onto the cornmeal And then I will take the other hand and I'll throw cornmeal on it and I will press down on the fish.
Hmm.
And that presses the cornmeal and it'll more of it will stick. So you do a bunch of them. And then I like to fry them in a deep fat fryer using canola oil or some other high temperature oil, maybe peanut oil if you're not allergic. And you don't have to fry them very long. You know, you put them in, as soon as they start floating, they're pretty much done. And it might be, you know, 3 or 4 minutes max. So that's the approach. And I fry in about 350 degree oil. I like a large volume of oil and not too hot.
And fry them till they float, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And just make sure that you make a bunch of them.
Yeah, because they'll go fast, I know. Now, before you get away, we did want to take just a few minutes and talk about a big problem that we know everybody at Parks and Wildlife is concerned about, and that's the wild hog infestation in our state. We realize you're in the fishing part of Parks and Wildlife, but what's your take on it?
Well, obviously, they're an invasive species, and we've got a lot of experience with invasive species in reservoirs, too, with zebra mussels and so forth. So there has to be a plan of attack. So, you know, they're very destructive. One of the things that I will point out is that they are good to eat. You know, this is a cooking show, after all, so among other things. So, you know, if you're out there deer hunting and so forth, I'd pop one and, you know, when it's cold and make some sausage out of it because, oh my goodness, some of the best eating you'll have.
Well, let me ask you this, John. What's your best advice for outdoors men and women who happen to just come upon a herd of wild hog and maybe startle them and they wind up charging you?
Well, so I've had some experience with startled wild hogs and so forth. And for the most part, they'll just run in all directions. You know, keep an eye on them. If they're coming at you, move out of their way. That'd be my first recommendation.
Wild hog abatement 101.
if you're in an area where there's lots of wild hogs and you know that you're likely to encounter them, obviously you want to have some sort of protection with you if you can. So,
and by protection, you mean a firearm.
Yes. Preferably one that shoots a big bullet.
Because it's going to be a big hog.
Right.
So what do you think the solution to this problem is long term, John?
Well, I know that there's been some efforts, research done on, you know, different ways to sterilize or poison the wild hog populations in areas where they're really dense. And some of those have had some success. They're still working on it. I think long-term it's going to have to be a widespread effort such as that because hunting, for the most part, is ineffective. Even high fences that are well kept up eventually will fail. So, you know, it's going to require a concerted effort.
This has been John Tibbs of Texas Parks and Wildlife. He is the Waco District Supervisor of Inland Fisheries Management and the Statewide Catfish Management Coordinator. So how can people contact you to find out more about the programs you guys offer?
Well, they can call my office. It's 254-666-5190. Or if they have a question about the neighborhood fishing program in Houston, that office is in Snook, and that phone number is 979-272-1430.
Thanks, John. We hope you'll come back on the show real soon, and Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Thank you, Randy. I enjoyed it very much.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspaw at Allspaw's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspaw's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspaw's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspaw's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspaw's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspaws.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspaw's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
It's time for Fred. It's Fred Olson, of course, my Hudson and Harrigan partner in crime and comedy. Though not necessarily in that order, right? For 30 years, no less.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, now that I stop and think about it, that kind of sounds like a prison sentence, doesn't it?
You know, for some people, it probably would be. For us, it was freedom. And most all of it was absolutely fabulous. And, you know, sometimes you can't please everybody, especially corporate, right?
Yeah, boy, ain't that the truth. Well, so how was your New Year's Eve and New Year's Day? Did you cook or eat anything new or interesting?
Well, actually, went with real basic comfort food. You know, Texas chili with cornbread and jalapenos in that cornbread. And then tamales. So we went Texan. Tex-Mex for it, and then about a ham just as an extra thing. She couldn't pass it up. It looked so good in the store. So everybody was happy and healthy. You know, our family, her family, I say our family, but her family is just so nice. And
And we're really blessed. They show up and they're fun and they're funny and they help and they clean up before they go. So they're always welcome here.
Wait, they help clean up? Are you sure they're family, Fred?
Yeah. You wouldn't even know they've been here. The first time they came for Thanksgiving years ago, and as the taillights drove away and everything was put up, all the chairs put back, you wouldn't even know they were here. And I went, they can come back anytime they
Yeah, I'd love for you to send them over here and give my family pointers. The last time we heard your voice on this show, you were doing a Jim Mora impersonation about the playoffs. And just like the Progressive Insurance Camel, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. Guess what day it is? It's the first day of the
playoffs.
I knew you'd do it.
Yeah, he almost went Mickey Mouse on that, didn't he?
He did, didn't he?
Hey, everybody, it's time for the playoffs. Pluto, come on, everybody. Playoffs.
So now we can stop talking about who to beat to get into or left out of the
playoffs.
Yeah, and we can actually talk about the
playoffs.
I don't know about you, but I am not at all surprised to find out that the Texans are playing the first game on Saturday. The network just hates our guys. I mean, the newspaper even had a column about that this past week.
No, the second game. What's the second game?
You just had to ask me that, didn't you?
Yeah, because normally the 3:25 game, which is when it is the game.
Well, that's the Texans and the Bills, and then there's a night game. There's a primetime game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I didn't remember to look to see which one that was.
Because I was out taking a walk this morning. I didn't read the morning NFL stuff this morning. So,
well, I guess the Texans' best revenge is just to win. So how do you think they accomplished that?
Well, they don't have the best defense in Buffalo, but they have a heck of an offense. So if those little guys, those sneaky little guys like Cole Beasley, they get things done over the middle and just eat you up sometimes. And Josh Allen's got some feet. You keep him from running all over the place, and you put somebody on Cole Beasley, and I think that we probably win it. It might be a tight game, but we have the crowd will be nuts.
Yep.
Absolutely crazy. At 3:25 in the afternoon, they'll start tailgating around 11. So they'll be wound up tighter than a $2 watch by the time that game kicks off.
Yeah. Be a little bit of alcohol there. You know, to start with, they'd be better off having J.J. Watt to start with, don't you think?
Well, yeah, that would be really nice because he'll take up somebody.
Yep.
Somebody will have to go, you got to watch him. I know he's back from his thing, but you got to watch him anyway.
Well, my son made a good point about J.J. Watt. He said, even if Watt just runs out of the tunnel in pads and never plays it down, the stadium's going to explode. That might be worth some early points all by itself.
Yeah, you never know who's going to show up, but I say if you put up Deshaun Watson against Josh Allen, Deshaun is going to make it happen.
Well, it sure was brutal to watch the Texans get pounded by the Titans last weekend. But again, my son made a good point. He called last week's game the Texans' bye week. They got a lot of rest for the starters on both sides of the ball, and that's almost as good as the first-round bye, the operative word being almost. What do you think?
I think it also looks at the talent that we have in the future going forward. Now, that A.J. McCarron's first drive was great. I went, wow. Of course, then, reality sets in. He didn't have anybody around him. You know, he didn't have all the people who can catch anything. But I saw Carlos Hyde was still in there.
Yeah.
And then we had, I forget some names here.
Buddy Howell.
That's it.
Yeah.
I had high hopes for Buddy Howell, who just tore it up in preseason.
Well, I'd almost cleaned out the garage. The operative word is almost.
Funny.
But I decided at the last minute that I just needed to save cleaning out the garage for New Year's resolutions. But you were talking about Buffalo a few minutes ago. These are not your Jim Kelly Buffalo Bills. You said that they don't have much of a defense, but listen to some of the names they've got on defense. Ed Oliver from the U of H.
Oh, wow.
Jerry Hughes, the All-American from my alma mater, TCU.
Yeah.
They've got some pretty good guys on that defense, and I think they're pretty dangerous on both sides of the ball.
Well, let's just hope not. Let's hope that they haven't been there in so long that they're going to freak out and just not have a good game. I just don't know which Texans are going to show up, but they're so excited about being where they are, and we're excited that they've had the season they've had, despite all the doubt at the beginning, and fire the coach, and who are these guys, and they cement all that on him, and why they do this, and why they do that, and it turns out that we had we won the division again, man. I mean, that's just amazing.
Yeah, and all the people who talk about Bill O'Brien being fired are just morons in my book. And tell me again, Fred, remind me, where is Dallas playing in the playoffs?
At home. They're playing Madden football at home.
Well, I will say one thing about this game. I am pretty confident about the Texans winning the special teams battle. And that might almost be the deciding factor. The operative word is... never mind. I've already used that. Well, we'll know whether the Texans are for real in another few hours. But earlier in the show today, we talked to John Tibbs of Texas Parks and Wildlife. I told you the last time we talked that we were going to talk to this guy. And we discussed a for real problem, that being wild hogs.
Oh, boy.
And I wanted to get your experience concerning wild hogs because you live out in the country where they're so common. What's your take?
Well, We've hogwired our place. We have about 60 acres, and we hogwired it years ago.
Ah.
Really keep them out of the yard. And so, unless they breach the fence, we don't really see them. They're amazing animals. You talk about resilient. They're like cockroaches, man. We had a mother and two offspring who were on this property. They got through a breach in the fence. And even though we have a neighbor who's a professional hog hunter, he has hog dogs. He's kind of a world-renowned hog dog guy. And they came in four times. Couldn't find them. Those pigs can go hide back in the Yopon, and they can, there's just something about them. And we finally, here's how we trapped the female. Finally got her. A friend said, we'll put strawberry jello in the trap.
What?
I'm serious. And I said to her, I said, I know you're pranking me on this. Because it's female, we just couldn't get her, And so the next morning after I put it, you put in the corn to draw them in, and I sprinkled strawberry jello on the corn, and I looked across to the garden, and I see this female trying to tear up that trap. I went, oh, my goodness, it worked. It was strawberry powder, jello.
Oh, it's not actually jello. It's just the...
No, it's the like the powder.
Wow.
And I called her. I said, you're right. How'd you know that?
Well, they do catch hogs for a living, right?
So that's kind of what happened. But they're just really a bit of a terror out here for my neighbors. And all along the roadside, you notice all that damage. It looks like somebody took a tiller and just literally dug it up. And unless we get together, everybody gets together and as a state and does something, there's no really getting rid of them. They propagate so fast. I mean, it's just amazing how many babies. We were leaving the ranch one night out the front of Oak Ridge Ranch, and about six large adults go across the road. And in the twilight, behind them, saw about 20, 25 babies.
Wow.
Crazy. And I went, man, there's somebody's yard. They're going to go trash it somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I sure hope we have some more football to talk about next weekend. So here's to another round of the...
playoffs.
And as far as you and I go, here's to another 30 years. And you know, with time off for good behavior, who are we kidding? Good behavior. Fat chance of that happening.
Hey, we can talk about our resolutions for the new year.
Good idea.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
How's about cooking something else?